Well, then, can you destroy the Earth?
Egad! I hope not! That's where I keep all my stuff!
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 51, featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and Ethan Nicole. Like trains? Do you hate jerks? Do you like a guy making fun of jerks on trains? Bart Don't Lie, your number one source for Ed picking apart the comings and goings of jerks on Bay Area Rapid Transit. Line jumpers, bad etiquette, what he's reading, misconnections, and more. BartDon'tLie.tumblr.com. That's BartDon'tLie. Introduction.
We're in week, 51 of me not having an alternative to, yes, hi, hello, aren't we?
How y'all doing?
I got nothing. I'm the only thing I can think of is to call attention to it every time. I'm sure that's not getting tiresome.
I'm so sick of calling attention to it every time. We need to think of something else.
Maybe we need to have another contest.
Yeah, let's do that. We can.
It has to be. Go ahead.
We're just going to get stupid answers.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. It has to be something that we approve of. No, I'm done with the dicks thing. We know we know where I stand on this, and you can feel free to agree with me or not, Matt, but I've said my piece there. I'm not going to keep calling everyone dicks because that's not a bit, I've been told, so I'm going to stop doing that.
That era is over.
Yeah, we're done with that. I'm still angry, but now I'm going to be passive aggressive.
Turning that anger internally.
Yeah.
We're confessor.
Back where it belongs. What the hell? We're going to have another contest. We had a contest recently. We sent a physical prize to a listener. We're doing it again.
Did we ever say what that prize was?
Not yet. He hasn't received it yet. As of this recording, he will have received it because I dropped it in the mail today. This morning I dropped it in the mail. So yeah, he'll have it. Matt, why don't you walk us through that? What do we send Black Mage 9000?
We wanted something, you know, something that represented the show. But more importantly, we wanted something that was cheap.
Yep.
Extremely cheap. So I went to the bookstore I work at, and I randomly the plan was I was randomly going to look for a book.
Yeah, my objection to that was in a bookstore, in a used bookstore, when you randomly look for a book, 3 out of 5 times it's going to be the Da Vinci Code, so probably don't grab a random book.
Yes, well, so I started looking around, and I found a book called The Marmot.
No.
Or no.
The Lemur.
The Lemur, thank you. The Marmot? What the fuck did that come from?
A nice marmot. That's where it came from. You got Lebowski on the brain, boy.
Well, I mean, that's always true.
Yeah, that's fine.
It was called The Lemur.
Which we have discussed at length on the show and on another podcast, apparently.
So I bought that, brought it home, I signed it.
Oh, very important.
Dear, what's his real name?
I don't remember. Black Mage. I'm pretty sure they're Black Mage of the Connecticut Black Mages.
Dear real name, how are you? We are fine. It's horrible that you knew the answer to this.
Right, remind people. This was the thing that he knew was a few weeks ago we had my ex-wife on talking about horrible Japanese movies. Mm. And he knew the name of some horrible rape the family. And what was the movie about? Do you remember? I can't keep them all straight.
It wasn't Rape Bus, but it was like Rape Bus.
No, but I mean the premise of the movie was like there was rape. There was, I think, other bodily fluids, urination maybe.
There was forced tubing.
Right. That's the one where I made my awesome Capri Sun joke that people got all squicked out about.
Yeah, that was an awesome joke.
No, not really, but the fact that it made people, you know, physically ill.
It at least did its job.
I'm not going to stand here and say my jokes are funny because I, you know, they're not. But
we have proof that they're not.
So. No, clearly not. But But looking at the feedback, people were made ill, and that's the next best thing. If I can't get laughter, I can at least provoke, you know, a gag reflex. Then
that's always been my preference. Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. So, and this guy, Black Mage, one of the many Black Mages, knew the answer, and so we sent him this book, and I signed it as well, and I think I wrote some crap. I don't remember. That's the thing.
Somewhere,
you know,
out there, someone has a book with our autographs.
No, they have the lemur.
Hold on to that, son. It'll be worth something someday.
eBay that shit. But yeah, we've done that, and we will not duplicate that exact prize. Like, we won't send you the lemur or probably another book from Matt's store. We'll go a different route. But
send something from your work this time.
I could do that. Actually, yeah. I did send it to him in a Microsoft envelope. So there's that.
That'll work. But I guess that's you covered then.
But no, I mean, I can. That's just because I didn't want to pay for a big envelope that can hold a book, and they're there free in the copy room. So, But I'm trying to. We won't do anything like that, but we will send you a physical prize that is actually something that may slightly amuse you. So, I mean, that's what we're talking about stakes wise. Maybe not something, you know, with the show name on it. Maybe not something valuable, but something, you know, mildly amusing, like us.
Something that we touched,
right,
with our hands.
But the contest is, we want a quick opening to replace Hi, Hello, Yes. Something that we both approve. Like, you can't just say, that's mine, I did it, I get a prize. It has to be something Matt and I both look at and agree on. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is our new opening.
This is an actual contest. You need to work for it.
Yep. So send those entries to podcast@algar.com. We'll say, let's see, this is episode 51. We'll say by episode 55, we will announce a winner.
Yeah, assuming we have any entries.
Right. Which we'll probably get Scott Zioko, Tidro, maybe one of the Tolkien chicks. They've been pretty supportive. That's probably about it.
All right.
But, you know, we'd like to hear from you guys we haven't heard from before. Something I was just thinking of that we were just talking about. Actually, you and I weren't talking about, come to think of it. I was talking about it with somebody else. But
some other guy I do a podcast with.
All you people I talk to that make jokes are basically the same. You're interchangeable as far as I'm concerned.
Good to know.
Something I've wanted to address on the show, and I don't think we've talked about this on the show. People's tendency to listen to this show, and of course we appreciate that part of it. I'm not finished yet. But listening to the show is good. We like you to listen.
Please continue to do so.
To listen to an older show, which is also fine. You don't have to grab them the day they come out. And then assume that you're having a conversation with us and just picking it up where we left it, like we know what the hell you're talking about. I'll give you an example. I'll be on Twitter, and it'll be morning.
Like you always are.
Yes. I mean, apart from sleeping, I'm pretty much always on Twitter. But, like, I'll have it on at work, and someone will be listening to episode, I don't know, 17. And we'll have talked about something. What Rorschach's favorite snack food was in Watchmen. I don't know.
Beans.
Well, yes, we know that now, but at the time, we will just have thrown a hypothetical, you know, rhetorical question out there.
Of course.
And then I'll get on Twitter, and here's the move. Someone will send me a message and say, crunch and munch. They'll just give me an answer to a question I asked, from my perspective, 10 weeks ago, and expect me to keep up. Like, you people understand when this podcast comes out, this is not a conversation. Like, you're hearing our voices, but
We're not talking to you.
We can't hear you.
Even now, when we're talking about you, no. We're talking directly to you, the listener.
Yes, but we are addressing you from the distant past.
Ooh.
And of course, once the word gets out that we've talked to a rather famous internet phenomenon, and we'll get to that in a minute. This episode may get more hits than usual. And to you, we say welcome. But we're not talking specifically to you. Hopefully, you as the discerning internet user understand this concept.
See, this is how stalkers get started.
Yeah, well,
they're talking to me specifically.
Apparently, radio is a big deal. Like that's a big thing with radio. Is people, mentally ill people, can't really grasp that the voices are not speaking to them. Mm-hmm. And maybe our audience is mentally ill. I don't know. I'm not qualified to make that diagnosis. I'm not saying
I am, but I choose not to.
All right, that's fair. But please, to you, we love that you're listening. We love getting your feedback. But give us some context, because we don't know what the hell you're talking about.
This is what hashtags are for. That and putting the lesser joke into your post before you send it out.
The thing it's not for is to build some kind of a trending topic to, so people can follow what everyone's talking about.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Whatever their original purpose was, that's not it.
That never worked.
No, that trick never works, Bullwinkle. Sorry,
this was bugging me from the other day. I've been looking at the what trends.
Yeah.
If there's anything that pisses me off, that like really enrages me about the people on Twitter, and I'm not talking about the people we talk to on Twitter.
Well, I actually, real quick.
The people. Go ahead.
Real quick. I read a news story just today that Twitter now has 50 million users. So you're talking about a large cross-section of people here.
But I mean, let's see what there is. I'm going to look at it right now. Trending topics such as I'm not attracted to.
Ah, right.
Or reasons I dumped her. These are the kind of things that really, really piss me off.
They don't piss me off, but actually, there's a great thing that Twitter, and for those of you not on Twitter, well, shut up, listen to us for a minute here.
What the hell?
Yeah. There's a great trending topics, for those of you not on, are just basically things that Twitter's little AI picks up on people talking about and says, these are the popular topics. There was one that I saw earlier, and I'm going somewhere with this. God, I wish I could remember what it was. It had like RU42, you know, like that Prince speak.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, like letters for numbers and there's this really, there's a function of Twitter that tells you why people are talking about things.
Mm.
Like they add a little tag explaining what the trending topic is for people like me who don't watch TV and don't know what American Idol is or whatever. It explains, whoever writes those descriptions is really snarky. Because I clicked on one today and it said, people are asking a question using irritating text speak. And that was the explanation for why people were talking about whatever, you know, RU42, you know.
That's pretty awesome.
So that kind of makes me want to always know why people are talking about things. Oh, Christ. Yeah, but I think because Twitter now has 50 million and growing people, yeah, half of those are spam bots, of course.
Well, yes.
And of the remaining 50%, a third of those are fake accounts for people like Cobra Commander and Homer Simpson.
And J. Jonah Jameson.
And J. Jonah Jameson. And something you mentioned is that...
J. Jonah Jameson.
Is that the one?
That one's mine.
Okay. I was going to say, you mentioned this the other day, that there's an account out there that's been woefully underused.
Yes.
And you mentioned that you might step up and...
I did.
Excellent. I did not know that. Of people that need to be aware of that, I think I should be among the first, Matt.
Yeah, well, at first it was sort of like, well, I want to see who's going to hop onto this if I don't talk about it a whole lot. And no one did, so that didn't work out, so I'm plugging it right now.
Well, something that has always amused me, and I don't know why, is J. Jonah Jameson, the editor of the Daily Bugle and Spider-Man. He just loves screaming about Spider-Man.
He needs those pictures of Spider-Man.
He must have them and get his coffee, damn it. Where are the pictures he was supposed to see?
Two?
Pictures of Spider-Man. Well, I had seven or eight trains of thought going. No.
Something about Twitter. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
50% are spam bots.
Yeah. Of those, the remaining 50% are probably fake people. Because, I mean, we all have, like, I had a Starscream account for a while that I thought was great fun, and then I kind of gave up on that. And you'll give up on this J. Jonah Jameson thing, because, you know, that's just how it goes.
Just to spite you.
No, well, good. That's why I said it. But even then, you still got, what, 15 million people out there.
Yes.
Most people are stupid.
It's true.
So, of that 15 million people, maybe 80 of them are decent people, and I'm following all of them. That's where I was going with that. So if I'm following you on Twitter, you're a lovely person. Otherwise, you're an idiot. Sorry. All right. That said, welcome new listeners. You're probably here to hear us talk to the Axe Cop guy.
So let's do that.
No, right. No, we're not doing it yet.
In a minute.
We're all about, if this is your first time listening, we are all about not giving the listeners what they want. So now we're going to make you wait just because you thought you were going to get that. No,
I hope they don't realize there's a fast forward function on their iPods,
or that I specifically mark segments so that you can skip this part and go right to the interview, like with a push of a button.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't tell them that.
Shh.
Yeah, we're talking to the Axe Cop guy, which is his name, right? Axe Cop guy?
Well, yes.
Wait, he has a name, doesn't he?
Yes.
And I'm trying to
it's
play cool.
It's not Axe Cop.
No, it's not. It's actually Ethan Nicole. I'm trying to play cool and pretend I don't know, but of course I know. He's a great guy. He gave us some of his valuable time discussing the brilliant concept that is Axe Cop.
And incidentally, if you haven't read Axe Cop, you should.
And what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
You
came here because you found out that we were interviewing him, or you're already listening to the show, in which case we've been talking about it for a week.
Or you live in China, and we don't know why you're listening at all.
You live in China, and we have no idea why you're listening at all. Please send us a letter explaining why you're listening.
Yes, actually.
We'd really like to know.
Yeah, we have a pretty substantial listenership in China, and I don't know why. I mean,
please
great.
Please don't send it in Chinese.
Yeah, or if you speak Chinese, give us a ring. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, an email, because we don't have a phone.
Give us a ring on our...
on the red phone.
Emergency phone.
The red phone. Hello? That we keep under glass.
Hello? China?
Oh, Alfred's handing me the phone. Oh, it's... it's you, Commissioner.
What's that? The Riddler's escaped. Again? That diabolical fiend.
You diabolical... All right, we're...
Catwoman.
We're straying off message here. Axe Cop guy. Listen, enjoy, and come up with a new intro for us.
Yeah, what the hell?
We'll send you something.
We have to do everything around here?
Panel discussion.
All right, our guest this week is the creator of the acclaimed webcomic Axe Cop, something Matt and I have been talking about nonstop for the last
lighted about for the last week or so.
Yeah, exactly. Ethan Nicole. Ethan, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So let's get the tedious part over with first. For those who have not heard of Axe Cop, explain it to our listeners, would you please?
All right. Axe Cop is a comic written by my 5-year-old brother and drawn by me. Started this last Christmas I was visiting, and it was just basically our playtime. He was playing with me. He said he wanted to be Axe Cop. And so the whole idea was to go fight dinosaurs, chop their heads off. And the whole thing turned into something cool. Like, as I envisioned it, a real cop doing all these things. It was like, I should make a comic of this just for fun. I did. And it was just for the family, you know, it was for the fun of it. And
sure.
I was there for a week. And so I ended up doing 4 episodes. And by the time I got to the end of the week, we had written episode 0 also. It just started becoming really fun with him to do these. And
uh-huh.
My friends are getting a kick out of them on Facebook, but I never thought that it would become something that so many people would like.
Yeah, it's really taken off. I mean, what was it, like a week or so ago, Bill Corbett from Mystery Science Theater and Riff Tracks mentioned it on Twitter.
Yeah, Bill and Kevin both did.
Oh, very nice. And that's how I became aware of it. And since then, it keeps making the rounds. Like, it keeps circling around. People on Facebook suddenly find it, or somebody else on Twitter, or here or there. It's just,
I hear of things going viral, but I've never imagined me being one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really wished we knew how to do that.
I didn't think webcomics went viral. Like, I thought there's like a few really nerdy people that have nothing to do with their lives that read webcomics.
Sure.
So I think I've been amazed by the amount of people that read them, because I just didn't know, because I didn't read webcomics. I'm
right.
Not trying to read webcomic readers, obviously.
Oh, no. In fact, before we did this podcast, me and Matt made a webcomic that nobody read, and we're not... I don't...
It just seems like unless you're into, like, furries and stuff, who reads webcomics?
Right, exactly.
We missed it. We were going for the wrong target audience. That's the problem.
We ended up with one 12-year-old reader who was very passionate about our stuff, but that's pretty much it. So, but I think the problem is with that is it's kind of, you know, too late. Like, unless you have a unique spin like you have, you were telling us sort of in the pre-show that this was not intended to be like a gimmick or anything, but really,
no,
you...
I wasn't thinking like, oh, okay, I got this idea. My 5-year-old brother writes it and I draw it.
I'm going to exploit a child.
Yeah. Like, it was for, like, it was literally for him, and it was for my family, and
sure.
And I was actually, I'm working on a different project of my own, my next graphic novel, and I just had been thinking, you know, in comics you make no money on books,
right?
When you're especially under a publisher, Mm-hmm. Make like 5% of profit. You make like just a little bit of money. And so I'm like, hey, if I'm not going to make any money worth earning on my books, why not just give them away for free online and make money on other stuff?
Well, sure. And that seems to be the
fan base. And also people that don't read books will look at your comics maybe because they're free and they don't read comics, but they might give it a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And that seems to be the model of how to do this stuff successfully. If it works, is to put something out there and then kind of let the merch, you know, carry you money wise. But, we've done, conventions. I've tried to sell print books. It's rough out there.
It is.
And, this just seems like so much easier. And again, because your concept is so easy to sell to someone, I mean, you know, right on your website, it says written by a 5-year-old and illustrated by his 29-year-old brother. I mean, that's all you need to know.
But I mean, you can sum that up in like a Twitter post or whatever, just, you know, pass it on to anyone.
Yeah, I've been amazed to see it going around, just going on Twitter like nonstop every day.
Well, now let's give you an opportunity to boast, to just completely stand and pound your chest. What's the most impressive place you've seen this talked about? I saw you mention specifically hearing the MST guys, you know, that was a big deal for you.
The most exciting, I got a list here.
I would do exactly the same thing. I'm laughing, but like, no, well, I would.
We have like press. Cause you know, it's like if someone from the press comes and wants to see you else and talk about it.
Sure.
MTV did a little write up on MTV.com.
Ah, very nice.
Entertainment Weekly, GQ.
Wow.
Comics Alliance has done a lot. They love it. There's a Rabbit Wired, New York Magazine.
Wow.
USA Today, Cracked.com had it one of their sites, Site of the Day or something.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
And as we're talking to you here, it's late February, and you started this Christmas. When did you actually put it, like, when did the website...
The site hasn't been public for a month yet.
Really? And you've got all this so far. That's phenomenal.
The 25th is the anniversary of us putting it online.
Wow.
And it was the night of the State of the Union address is when it caught fire.
Wow.
Jeez.
That's just...
I've been going 100 miles ever since.
I bet.
100 miles an hour.
Now, you're churning out what? Like a comic or you do like the... Okay, so there's like the main storyline. And then you also have the... You call it Ask Axe Cop, which is like a whole other strip.
Mm-hmm.
And how often are you putting these out?
The goal has been to do... two Ask Axe Cops a week and one story page a week. Or it's not a page. It's actually, in a comic, it would be 3 pages. So it's, Ask Axe Cops are usually close to a page. A half a page or 3/4 of a page is what an Ask Axe Cop is. So it ends up being about four or more pages a week.
Wow.
And that's... these are just beautifully drawn, too.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, you're not
just... That's what happened. Like, the first ones, I think, I thought were just for my family, so I really just kind of crapped them out and... Now that I have the biggest audience ever had in my life, I'm like, I want to draw this good now.
Yeah, maybe I should put some work into this. No, and it seems like you're doing that, you know, you're striking while the iron's hot. You're like, well, people are looking, so I'm going to create material. And that's good, because a lot of people kind of, I don't know, like, on the web, you see a lot of stuff start out and you know, get halfway decent, and then they're like, nah, I don't feel like updating anymore. And it's nice to see.
I don't know how long I can keep this up. I'm interested to see how long Malachi can keep it up, and we'll just keep going as far as we can. But I don't know. I'm curious to see myself how things go. But
let's be honest. Every artist has his price, and you know everyone likes to pretend they won't sell out or whatever. But really, if someone came to you with a big sack with a dollar sign on it and said, "We want to make Axe Cop the movie," you know, would you do it?
Oh, I'd love to. I'm not a purist by any means.
Sure. Now, let me ask you this, and I don't want to put you in a bad, you know, uncomfortable spot here or whatever, but I would assume half that, you know, sack with the big dollar sign on it would go to Malachi, right?
A portion would. I don't know if we'd go half, because...
Well, yeah, you are putting a lot of work into this. But...
It's all my work that got us here. And, but of course, you get a chunk.
Yeah.
More than any 5-year-old got, that's for sure. But, we work it out. It'd be something that... me and my family that would agree on, you know.
Sure. Now, are they? How do they feel about all this? Are they?
They're totally supportive of their, you know. I think both me and my dad are careful about. We don't want him to get like I don't know if he'd be a child celebrity, not at this point, but
right.
getting that kind of false sense of reality when you're a kid, like, everything comes easy and
everyone wants to talk to you and you're the center of attention all the time.
It's like, I want to be careful with that because that can create a really fake reality for him to get thrown into when he gets older.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh yeah, sure.
We're trying to for him just connect it to me, you know, make him think, you know, this is something he's getting through me as a team, you know, me and him as brothers are getting this and it's, you know, and which it is because, you know, all my hard work as an artist, you know, I don't think it would have the same effect if you had a guy who couldn't drawing these comics.
Oh, absolutely. It's the contrast between the very simple, you know, 5-year-old ideas and you know, you're quite a skilled artist between the two of those things. I think that's really what drives this. And we were talking about in the pre-show, your process. I mean, you basically just get the ideas from him and then you kind of flesh out, you know, I mean, you're doing a lot as far as pacing the gags and that kind of thing. So, I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of storytelling on my part. You know, he gives me it's really a big mess when he gives it to me. And I have to make a lot of decisions about what order I put it? Do I put it in and how do I present it? And sometimes things are so vague. I mean, a lot of times the characters, all it is just a name. And so I have to create the personality.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He never said Uniman has a bow tie and is this kind of like quiet, sad man. He just told me Uniman wants to be a superhero.
And you have to figure out who Uniman is, what he looks like. Yeah,
so I just thought, you know, it's funnier if Uniman is this pathetic, nerdy guy. He reads about her. And then, like I said, he goes to Earth to become a superhero. Mm-hmm. So I think that's hilarious. Like, he's a nerdy guy on this planet. He goes, I'm going to go to Earth to be a superhero because no one there has unicorn horns. It's like, makes it more... It just kind of gives it a bigger impact, you know?
Right. Now, let me ask you this. When you do all that extrapolating, does Malachi ever look at the drawing and say, no, that's not what Uniman looks like?
Yeah.
Really? Rhino Man.
And what's funny is he didn't make up Rhino Man. Rhino Man was in a question that a guy asked. You know, if a Rhino Man was attacking kids, what would you do or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And he was mad at me for making Rhino Man fat. I'm like, Rhino Man would be fat.
So we could see sort of the cracks starting to form, creative differences.
Yeah. He more thought it was funny though.
Yeah. That's cool.
But there's certain things like when Telescope Gun Cop and baby apple hands. And they like transform their hands into apples. When he saw the drawing of what that looks like worked out, like he had this like the look on his face was priceless and he goes, that wasn't a good idea, was it?
That's fantastic.
But there's, in this upcoming episode that's coming out tomorrow, it's supposed to come out today, the bad guy in this new kind of arc we're doing is, okay, you can try to picture this, but I'm having to try to draw it, but it's the half vampire kid, half vampire baby. And like on the right, left, and middle sides. So like one side is a baby, one side is a full grown man, and middle is supposed to be like this morph of a kid, and they're all vampire.
Wow.
And it's just like, it's the most hideous, ugly creature I've ever drawn. And he hasn't seen it yet, so I'm curious to see how he reacts.
That must be violating every principle in you as an artist. Like, why am I drawing this?
Yeah. He's just jumping on one leg, the other leg just banging. The baby side is just practically useless.
Wow. But really, I mean, as a comedy, you know, as a comedy writer, as an artist, you must appreciate that you're
that's what makes it fun, you know, you see that.
You're tapping into things that people would never think of, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, as an adult, you know, when you plot out a gag, you're not thinking like that. There's always some logic to it. And I think that's what makes this so great is, you know, you're not encumbered by logic in any way.
Yeah, well, I get to play off of his logic.
Right.
Like, what makes it hilarious, because there's a logic to it for him. He's not just being random. Like, for him, it's
Well, sure, okay, yeah. That makes sense. Now, and you've mentioned this before, there is a sense of continuity. Like, he knows what happened before, and, you know, he'll pick it up from there and continue the story?
Yeah, I'll remind him, and he'll know exactly what I was talking about, you know, like, I'll say, okay, so remember last time we talked about how this guy, you know, did this? And they're like, oh, yeah, and he'll pick back up right where we left off.
That's cool. Now, do you fear the time when you call him up and he's like, I'm bored with Axe Cop? I mean, because, you know, 5 year olds can be fickle.
Yeah. No, I don't think I have to always remember that the fun of Axe Cop isn't Axe Cop. The fun of Axe Cop is Malachi.
Yeah, absolutely.
And creating, you know, and he loves like, for instance, this new series is going to feature these new characters, the Moon Warriors.
Okay.
They team up with Axe Cop. I talked him into getting to team up with Axe Cop. So, but just letting him go wherever he wants, and always trying to talk him into staying with Axe Cop. I think he right now he's still he likes keeping Axe Cop. It is true. Like, there was one day where he kind of started talking about not doing any Axe Cop and doing this new character named Under Kid, who's like basically Underdog but a kid. I'm like, is there anything different about him besides Underdog and he's just a kid? No.
And that would probably, I mean, I'm just remembering when I was little, Matt, probably the same way, like being, you know, immersed in so much TV and pop culture and everything else, there must be some, you know, like my, yeah, exactly. Your imagination's already kind of crap at some, you know, to some extent being a kid now.
Yeah, it's like, well, why would I want to make up new stuff? What's Batman doing this week?
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of the ideas come from him trying to work in characters that he already knows about, and I have to tell him that we can't use characters other people have made up.
Right.
He has to make his own version up. So, like, you know, there's one episode where there was 10 Ben Matanga.
That was Ben 10.
Oh,
okay. Very nice. Well, see, that's a good exercise for him, too, because you're telling him, no, don't just tell me what you saw on TV. Think of your own thing. Like, that's...
Yeah.
You're making him kind of stretch those creative muscles, and that's got to be, you know, it's got to be good for him. Mm. So you mentioned you've done some other work before. You've published some other books, nominated for awards and all sorts of stuff. Is it always comedy? Is that the kind of stuff you like to do?
I'm most comfortable with comedy. Mm-hmm. I've tried straight just serious action, and I'm not as good at it. So I'm trying. I like mixing comedy and action.
Sure.
I'd be very comfortable doing like a Tick style book.
Oh, that would be fantastic. I think that would match your style
too. That's what I love about Axe Cop is it's very Tick-ish.
I can definitely see that. Stop that, Matt. I was going to ask you, like, I mean, just the standard, you know, influences question. So that's obviously one.
Okay. Yeah. The Tick, probably, like, when I really think of influences, I think of things that I was into in, like, the first 15 years of my life, probably influenced me the most. And, Far Side, I think, really influenced my humor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
just like the way that I present a gag, I always try to condense every gag into one panel instead of drawing it out over four or five.
That makes sense.
Far Side jumps right to the joke, you know. And that's what I've always thought about Far Side.
Yeah, definitely.
Is right in that one panel to make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin and Hobbes, big time. I love Calvin and Hobbes.
Sure.
I grew up on Ninja Turtles, so there's like a million different artists of Ninja Turtles, you know. I was into the Archie comics, and I was into the Mirage comics, so all those different artists had a big impact on me, from Eastman and Laird, Simon Bisley, and
mm-hmm.
Dan Berger, and all these guys.
We actually just did our Valentine's show, and the gimmick for that show was we had a bunch of female listeners appear and talk about who their imaginary boyfriends were, like fictional characters they had crushes on, and the Ninja Turtles just kept coming up.
Really?
I don't know what the deal is.
A lot of girls really like turtles.
And they're very passionate about different turtles. They're like, no Donatello, no Leonardo. Like,
sick turtle.
Yeah, very angry about, why would anyone like Leonardo? Or, you know, it's so weird.
It's the genius of the turtles. Everyone has their favorite one because they have those different personalities.
Well, yeah.
So now, as far as like, you don't seem like you're a big like comic book guy. Like, your influences seem to be more comic strip based, which is, you know, I mean, that's.
Well, I guess when I'm talking influences growing up, it was comic strips more. But I'm not big on comic books. I mean, I never really got into Superman, Spider-Man, X-Men, all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
I read a little bit. I mean, I've read more than like your average person who doesn't read comics.
But sure.
I haven't read nearly as much as people that are into comics. And that's what's been funny about Axe Cop. I never saw myself as ever creating anything that the superhero genre or crowd would enjoy or embrace. So that's what's been crazy about Axe Cop, is they really have embraced Axe Cop.
Well, Well, and I would say, Matt, would you agree that comics fandom kind of has gotten a little broader? Like,
oh yeah, absolutely. In the last few years, like, it's really sort of gone away from the superhero thing. But I mean, I can definitely see that sort of influence in this, or that sort of, like, you know.
Well, the same, yeah, the same kind of aesthetic, the same kind of, you know, the same.
Yeah, I guess there's just I guess maybe you could call it the mainstream crowd or something, like the,
sure.
You know, the people that are into, you know, the guys that have a regular pull list or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Well, that would be Matt. Yeah. and quite a lot of people that come on our show and that we talk to. So we actually sort of traveled in comic book circles for quite a while. So, I mean, I'm not really so much into them now, but a lot of people we know are. So it's interesting talking to people sort of not really part of that world, but sort of peripherally part of that world kind of thing. And that is a fanatical crowd that you want on your side. I mean,
yeah, for sure. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And if you can, you know, if you can grab a table at a convention right now or something like that, you know, you'd probably sell out of t-shirts or whatever. I mean, it's just these people, these are the people that I have seen over and over again spreading the word about Axe Cop. Like, people.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, you mentioned like Adult Swim and like The Tick. I mean, you know, the same kind of aesthetic, the same kind of sort of off kilter sense of humor, the same kind of, you know, I mean, that's the people I'm seeing that are really carrying this thing around. And I mean, I don't know, you know, it sounds like you got some actual like reputable publications talking about you as well. So maybe it's got even broader appeal than that, but.
Yeah. I've been amazed that, you know, like NPR and MTV and all these people have talked about it. Cause like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. No kidding.
I just drew enough for it to be, it could be one serialized comic book, like a floppy, you know, 30-page comic in a store, but that's all we've got for material so far. But what's funny is that if you were to put all of Axe Cop, both the episodes and the Ask Axe Cops, onto individual comic book pages, which I have laid out in a file on my computer, you get about just under 30 pages, but there's over 30 characters now. So we're averaging more than one character per page, one new character.
Wow, that's fantastic. But I mean, that, you know, that's probably the risk you run with you know, with your writer.
Well, yeah, yeah. You go, oh, who can I make up this week?
And then this happened, and then this happened. No, I'm bored with that. This guy came in.
Yeah. It's like, what has Baby Man done? He's farted once. That's all he's done.
Well, we're done with Baby Man. Let's move on. That's nice. So, tell us about the other stuff that you did, like the other books.
Well, Chumbles Buzz on SLG, and actually, if I'm talking about my influences, I grew up on SLG comics too, like Johnny the Homicidal Maniac and Squee, Milk and Cheese.
That's cool that you ended up publishing through them, then.
Yeah, so it was really exciting when I got that.
It's fantastic.
Chumbles Buzz is just kind of it's like Myron and Stimpy. It's like these two weird characters that, you know, one's short and mean and one's tall and dumb. And they just go on adventures. Like the first episode, or the first book, they're graphic novels, but they're each book has two adventures. One of them, in the first book, they go to a carnival to win a pig, and they win it, but it's possessed by Satan.
And so, very nice.
Yeah, so they go to hell to kill the devil.
Oh, well, of course, that's what you would do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they'd never heard of Satan, so they're like, oh, this guy's a douchebag.
That's fantastic.
And the second book, the main story in the second book is they find this guy that was raised by pigeons.
Okay. So
he thinks he's a pigeon, and then this like feral human zoo.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has, like, zoo of feral humans, and so he like the last thing for his zoo of like feral humans to like.
Ah, very nice.
So his whole display of all these humans raised by different animals, but he's having these underground kind of like cockfights, but they're like feral human fights.
Oh, nice.
And so they end up having to like save the pigeon man from this because he's in there getting put up against, you know, of course, the fighting man cock, which is like a man who was raised by cocks.
Fantastic.
Gonna have to look
right, of course.
But yeah, that one was nominated for Best Humor Publication in 2009 for an Eisner.
Oh, very nice.
And I've read it, reviewed it. It just hasn't been read by many people, but the people that read it said it's one of the funniest books I've read, and I'm real proud of it.
That's very cool. And I would imagine, you know, you're going to get a little more attention now because, I mean, the natural reaction is, okay, well, I like this. What else has he done? And
I'm hoping so. I mean, I think people want to give Malachi so much credit. I think they want to see me as just the artist, but I mean, I really do insert as much humor into Axe Cop as I possibly can, you know? And I think if you find Axe Cop funny, I think you will. I think a good chunk of Axe Cop fans will like Tumble Spuds.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we have some mail here from our listeners, so we'll crack that open here. And some of these we may have touched on already, but if you have additional information, anything we haven't covered, anything like that, I want to give the questions a fair chance, but we could just dismiss them too. I mean, you know, we don't actually like our listeners, so it doesn't really matter. But
all right.
But we do this apart from other podcasts.
Yeah, no, we despise our listeners. We hate them. This is from Scott Zioko, actually a pretty decent comic artist and writer in his own right. Says, what format do you get your scripts in? Are they verbally delivered and transcribed onto paper, either in the form of words or thumbnails? And is it easier to collaborate with a kid than it is with an adult? I would imagine that would be a big yes. Thanks, and I love the comic. It's a lot of fun, Scott.
I can't remember if I answered this off air or on air, but I'm on the phone with Malachi, and it's just more like an interview. I'll just sit there and question him, and he's all over the place. So I'm sitting there typing, clickety clack, nonstop, and just like writing out like a stream of consciousness of a 5-year-old. And I come up with this insane document that just has, it's ridiculous. And I posted like a chunk on the website under FAQs. You see a chunk of a raw script from Malachi.
Oh God!
Well, there's also like a video of you talking to him on here too.
Yeah, and that's similar. On that one, most of the story that we're talking about on the video that sucked on that video was that was a second take because that was the first time we'd ever done that, and it wasn't recording the first time, and so the first time it was perfect because he was making up on the spot.
And the second time you had to like explain recorded. To him. To, yeah.
Oh, so I'm like, and that's why at the beginning of you, if you watch, I go, so, and I ask him the first question, he goes, we know. And he points over on the side of the table because there's all the notes that I took sitting there. And I go, no, they don't know. The people in the camera don't know. Mm-hmm. And so we had to go over it again.
Jeez. Okay. Let's see. Our next question comes from Tidro. She writes, dear Mr. Nicole, first of all, let me just say, I love me some Axe Cop. The question I have for you is if there were to be a live action Axe Cop film, who would you choose to play Axe Cop? Thanks in advance.
I'd like to have it cast. Like, I think what I love about Axe Cop is how seriously he takes himself. And so
right.
I would like a very serious actor. Like, I'd like to see like Daniel Day Lewis as Axe Cop and Philip Seymour Hoffman as Flute Cop.
Oh, nice!
Phenomenal. No, I think Jason Statham would be a good Socarang. We've been talking about Axe Cop Facebook. So, and then if you look on the Axe Cop fan art, I actually did it. It's fan art, but I did it. It's a I took a picture of William H. Macy and Uniman. In Photoshop, and it's so perfect. You can't even imagine. Like, he's making this face like his child just got taken by aliens, and it's just so perfect.
That's phenomenal. Okay, next question comes from Shauna Zioko, and she writes, dear Algar, Matt, and Ethan, took my lunch break to read Axe Cup today. Enjoyed it thoroughly. Being a younger sibling myself, I admit big brothers can be very manipulative. My question is, have you ever been tempted to plant ideas in Malachi? Like, say, you really want to do a comic with Axe Cop traveling through time, or Avocado's long-lost background, or whatever. Would you use your big brother powers to influence Malachi?
I probably have done that. But sometimes I'll try to suggest something, and if he doesn't go for it, then I let him have the upper hand. I let him have his thing. You know, like, I really tried to get him to put zombies in the next story, and he wouldn't do it.
Oh, nice. So you try to steer him, but if he doesn't go for it, then you just kind
of... Yeah, and so far, I can't think of anything that we've done so far that was like a really blatant steer of mine. But there'll be things like the character Unibaby, which is like kind of a hot issue in our family because Megan, who's the older sister of Malachi, he actually, in some technical way, she thought of Unibaby.
Oh, no.
We were like sitting there making that episode, and I had the panel there where Axe Cop needed to use whatever weapon he was going to use to kill Sidrazon. We didn't know what it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And somehow Malachi, and Megan is the sister that was the baby before Malachi came along, so she's always trying to butt in on Malachi's turf and be the cute one, even though she's like 6 years older than him. But she would keep trying to get in on the Axe Cop story. I'm like, no, this is a five-year-old boy story. Like, it has to stay that or it's not as good, you know?
Right. We don't want any ponies or, you know.
Yeah, she was trying to insert princesses and stuff.
Yeah. No.
And they started arguing about unicorns and babies. Like he wanted a baby of some sort, and she wanted a unicorn. And somewhere in there, I heard the word unibaby. And I turned to go, unibaby? I go, wait. I go, is this what a unibaby is? I go, is a unibaby a baby human with a unicorn horn sticking out of its head? They look at me like, sure, yeah, that's what it is.
Well, yeah, go, obviously.
Genius. I'm going to use that.
Nice. And now you got
some kind of collaborative effort, but
now you got creators' rights issues going on here, and you'll be hearing from Little Sister's lawyer. That's fantastic.
She's tried to one of the last times I was on the phone with Malachi. Mm-hmm. He goes, I can't read this, but I have some new characters. I'm like, how can you write about new characters that you can't read? I need Dad to read these new characters to you. And my dad starts to read, and he goes, a princess with a choker necklace wears a long pink dress. It's like,
wait a minute.
He's trying to get him to insert a fairy and a princess into his story. I don't know what kind of
deal up here.
Yeah. So another sort of standard question. I mean, what's the plan? You're talking about a print book. You've thrown a store up pretty quickly, which is a smart move. I mean, you know, you got people looking, and that's how that's how stuff works on the web. That's how you fund this stuff. So,
yeah.
But I mean, do you have a direction in mind? Do you have a?
We had to throw that store up because the amount of traffic was costing us so much money.
Oh, no doubt.
The funny thing about when we put Axe Cop up, to show how little we expected anyone to look at it. I mean, we were both totally broke, and our website was $30 a year. And so it went from being a $30 a year website to a $400 a month website.
Oh, real fast.
And so we were like, put a store up, sell shirts that don't exist yet.
Yeah, no kidding. But I would imagine a fair amount of the emails that you're deluged with probably, you know, how do I get a shirt? How do I get a, you know, whatever. I mean,
yeah, I've just been amazed. I mean, the amount of orders. I mean, and the great thing is I have this great, my great friend, Anthony, and his wife. We were in a band together, and he loved doing the merch, and he just loves doing merch. Mm-hmm. He's good at it, and so they've been handling that.
That's fantastic. So really, it seems like you're building this whole empire on exploiting everybody else.
Yeah, yeah, it helped. Yeah,
it's worked for me so far.
I haven't spent the money. I haven't spent a penny. I haven't spent a penny on anything made for Axe Cop yet. Like I haven't gotten anything for it yet.
Right.
There is money in an account that's come in from t-shirts and stuff, obviously.
Yeah, but that's got to go into your $400 a month website, so, you know.
Yeah, the website and the expenses of making the shirts and everything. Right. Like, right now, it's like, and also, like, you know, when you make shirts, you have to make, like, a bunch to save money, so we order a bunch of them. And so, anyway.
Well, and I imagine if you're doing a print book, there's also, you know, expenses involved there. And
what's that?
But I imagine if you're planning on doing a print book too, I mean, would you do that through the publisher you're set up through, or would you self-publish? Or
it'll be through a publisher. Right now, we're working that out. Like, I've had a lot of interest from different publishers on this. So,
sure.
This is like my first time where instead of me coming to a publisher going like, please, sir, they're like making offers on it.
Oh, very nice. Now, is this one of those things where it's like, I mean, you see, like, on Twitter that, what's it, the shit my dad says, that guy get, like, a sitcom deal, and, like...
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Apparently...
Shatner, apparently.
Yeah, apparently William Shatner is going to be the dad who says shit.
Oh, wow.
So, I would imagine... What's that?
We should team up.
Yeah, no kidding. But I would imagine, to some extent, you know, it seems like, you know, the establishment, if you want to put it that way, Hollywood, whatever, doesn't really still quite get the internet and get, you know, this kind of thing. So I would imagine, you know, the knee jerk tends to be, you know, buy this, turn it into a movie, turn it into whatever, just get it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know what you can talk about or whatever, but I would imagine you're getting some interesting offers right now.
There's been a lot of interest. I haven't gotten any specific offers.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure, you know, it's only been taken off for the last few weeks, really, but...
I've had all sorts of phone calls.
No doubt. Now, you're...
Some meetings and stuff.
you're producing motion comics now. I mean, what else is on the horizon as far as that kind of stuff goes?
The motion comics are something I found fans of the comic. People just kept making stuff, you know, like people would make something and send it in. And I'm like, hey, this is pretty good. Like, people just like this comic so much. I'm like, I started talking to friends of mine that did voiceover stuff, and
yeah,
and it just turned out, I was like, you guys want to make a motion comic? Like, you guys want to make, I can't pay anybody, but if you
right.
want to do it, that'd be awesome. And so everyone's like, yeah, let's do it. And they're all very excited and made the first one, just released it today.
I saw you pimping that on Twitter earlier, and I was like, "Ooh, nice!" Because yeah. I mean, that's a whole untapped market of viral type stuff. Is
yeah, exactly.
YouTube,
comic, at least probably watch that.
Right, exactly. So I mean, do you have anything else on the horizon, or is it just kind of going as it comes? Like,
right now, I mean, there's for sure going to be a book of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I have no idea yet. I mean,
fair enough.
I'm talking to all sorts of people, but
right.
Solid, I can say right now. And besides, you definitely want to do a book.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do everything. I mean, I think it'd be
great
in all formats. It'd be a hilarious video game.
Oh, no doubt.
It'd be awesome.
Well, now, what would you see it as? Like, what kind of game would it be?
What
kind of video game do you envision?
Well, you know, I don't play a lot of video games.
Well, me neither. Actually, I'm just.
I grew up on I loved the Turtles in Time and fighting games.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, I mean, that'd be perfect for this.
I love that. Like arcade-style fighting, brawl.
Oh, yeah.
Double Dragon was my game. Oh. And so, to me, that's a game.
Right. That's fantastic. Now, if...
With an axe.
If someone were to do that, would you want them to adapt it to your art style, or would you be more, willing to make it more kind of a, you know... Like a video game style, for want of a better term, you know what I mean? Like, how married are you to this? Like, how much a part of your art is this? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think if the video game had its own style, I'd be fine with that. Like, because I'd love to see a live action Axe Cop that looks real.
Sure.
Well, I mean, the humor there would just be how straight, how straight you pull it.
Yeah, because that's what's funny about it is if you pull it straight. So I mean, if you did a game where everything looked like real, like Grand Theft Auto style real. That'd be awesome. Real avocado with unicorn horn.
That is pretty fantastic. All right. Well, I think that's about all we got, Matt. Anything?
Nope.
All right, Ethan. Well, we definitely appreciate your time, and we will share links to all this stuff in our show notes and continue promoting the hell out of this, because this is easily the best thing I've seen on the internet in a while now. So
very long time.
Keep them coming. We definitely appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
All right. Take care.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at sarcasticvoyage.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website, again, is sarcasticvoyage.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, @RobotMatt and @Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2010.
Sign up here. We have a gang of dinosaurs to kill.